Hello, Radioland. This is WCOM LP Chapel Hill 103.5 Chapel Hill and Carrboro. Support for WCOM comes from the Cary Playwrights Forum. It's 9 o'clock on a Tuesday night, so it must be time for the Cary Playwrights Forum Radio Hour. I'm your host, Christian O'Neill. Hello, visitors. Welcome to Chekhov's Audio Museum of Marital Mischief. I'm your gallery guide, Christian O'Neill. Last week, we visited two of our most famous exhibits, Trip of the Tongue and Chorus Girl. And if you remember, earlier in our tour, we also happened upon Chekhov's gun. This week, well, we just might get to use that very gun. Visitors, please direct your attention to the exhibit on your left. Here, we're transported to an upscale gun store in a provincial Russian city. Fyodor, a hot-headed husband, is on a mission. He's given to talking and gesticulating as he works up his nerve to enter the store. Let's hear what he has to say.
Well, here I am, Fyodor Fyodorovich, full of piss and vinegar, bulging with resolve, about to enter Schmuck and Company, gunsmiths and gun merchants extraordinaire. I know what I have to do. Don't you dare try to talk me out of it. My home is destroyed, my honor is trampled, vice is triumphant, but not for long. I have it all worked out. I'll kill her first, then her lover, then myself. Oh, I can see it now. Blood-stained corpses, broken skulls, oozing brains, the commotion, the gaping spectators, oh, the delectable horror of it all. The only question is how I'll pull it off. My, just look at the selection. Oh, my, almost every lethal firearm conceived of by that mind of man. But it's so quiet. The place is deserted. Where's the confounded clerk?
Monsieur?
Ah, there you are.
Oh, what is your pleasure, monsieur?
I could have walked off with half your merchandise by now. You're lucky I didn't.
Many have tried, monsieur, but none have succeeded. Schmuck and Company takes deadly aim. What can I do for you, monsieur?
I need a revolver.
For what purpose, might I ask?
What business is it of yours?
We're in the firearms business. Different revolvers serve different purposes.
I need it for my country cottage to scare away burglars.
I see. Now, in this display case, for your purposes, I'd advise you to invest in this superb Smith & Wesson revolver, the last word in the science of firearms. Triple action with ejector. Kills at 600 paces. Here, monsieur. Don't be afraid to handle it. How does it feel, monsieur?
Heavy.
Let me draw your attention, monsieur, to the beauty of the finish. It's the most fashionable revolver we have, monsieur. How does it feel now that you've had a moment to get acquainted?
Heavy, to be sure, and cold. Yes, cold, very, very cold, but efficient, I'm sure.
Oh, be careful, sir. Don't point it at me. Point it at your burglars.
What burglars?
Well, I thought you said... Well, never mind. Our display guns are not loaded, monsieur, but one can never be too sure.
How much does it cost?
We'll get to that, monsieur. We sell a dozen of these every day for burglars... Wolves, and, would you believe, lovers? It's very accurate. It hits from a great distance. It can kill a wife and a lover with one bullet. As for suicide, I don't know a better weapon.
But how much?
45 rubles, monsieur.
45 rubles? 45, my God, that's too expensive.
In that case, monsieur, let me suggest something less expensive. Now, over here, in this case, we have a limited choice in the lower price range for our rare patrons of limited means. Here, for instance, is a Lafarge revolver.
How much?
But don't you want...
How much? They all kill.
I thought you only wanted to scare your burglar.
How much, damn it?
Only 18 rubles, monsieur.
Ah, now that's more like it. Why waste a fine gun on burglars?
But, monsieur, it's an old-fashioned make. Do you know who buys these now?
Who?
Only hysterical ladies and the mentally deficient.
I'm neither one, I tell you.
Oh, I didn't say you were, monsieur. But I must tell you that shooting one's wife or her lover or committing suicide with a Lefauré revolver is considered bad form nowadays. It simply isn't done in the best families. Smith & Wesson is the way to go if you want to hold your head up in society. At least until you shoot it off.
Stifle the jokes. This is serious business.
It always is, monsieur.
And I don't want to shoot anyone or commit suicide. I told you that. And even if I did, it would be none of your business, you Frenchified popinjay.
Oh, monsieur, you misunderstand.
I told you I'm buying it for my country cottage to scare away burglars. Can't you understand plain Russian?
Let me assure you, monsieur, that your raison for any purchase is none of our concern. If I had to ascertain the real raison for every purchase, we'd have to close our shop. But, monsieur, this Lafarge is not even suitable for scaring burglars.
Why not?
It goes off with a faint, muffled sound. It's like a guard dog that doesn't bark, just whimpers. Who needs that, monsieur? You want a big bang, big drama, big excitement when the big moment comes. Wait a moment. Here, monsieur, how about this dueling pistol? Take it in your hands, s'il vous plaît. Caress it. Take it to your bosom.
Ah.
How does it feel, monsieur?
Feel?
Why are you walking away?
Why didn't I think of this before? Why don't I challenge that scoundrel to a duel? But maybe that's doing him too much honor. Beasts like that should be shot in the face at close range, like junkyard dogs.
Monsieur, take care not to remove any firearm from the premises. Shop rules.
This nifty dueling pistol would do the job all right. It would blow out their brains, no question. Blood would gush all over the carpet and the parquet. My strumpet of a wife, ha, would twist and turn and cry out in agony and then be heard no more. The blood, the wailing, the horror of it all. But wait. I have a better idea. I'll kill him, then I'll kill myself. But I'll spare the whore of Babylon. And why not? Let her feel the stings of conscience and the world's contempt. For a pretentious soul like hers, this would be worse than death itself. I can see it now. I, the injured husband in my own funeral, lying in my coffin with a gentle smile on my lips. And she, the whore of Babylon, pale, racked with remorse, following the coffin, not knowing where she can hide to escape the hatred being spewed on her like cascading vomit by the indignant crowd. Oh, yes. Dogs pee on her. Children spit on her.
Monsieur.
Old women lean out their windows to empty their chamber pots on her head.
Monsieur.
Yes?
Monsieur, I hate to intrude.
Why are you then?
Monsieur, I truly believe a gentleman of your dignity and importance would be happier with the Smith & Wesson. I think your burglars would expect no less. And if you think it's too expensive, very well. Schmuck & Company is prepared to knock off 5 rubles.
Yes, but...
Of course, monsieur, as I've shown you, we have other makes. Cheaper makes. Inferior makes. Step this way and I'll show you.
But...
Try this one, monsieur.
How much?
How much? How much? Always how much? 30 rubles, monsieur. That's not expensive, not when you consider how far the exchange rate has dropped, how fast custom duties are rising. Monsieur, I am a conservative man, but even I am beginning to murmur. Why, with the exchange rate diving and the customs tariff soaring, only the rich can purchase decent firearms these days. There's nothing left for the poor but Tula weapons. What a misery they are.
How's that?
With a Tula revolver? God forbid you aim at your wife and shoot yourself through the shoulder blade.
Oh, my.
Monsieur, Why are you walking away again?
But wait. Why should I be dead? How mortifying! Why shouldn't I witness the agonies of the Whore of Babylon? What good is revenge if I'm dead? Revenge is only sweet if I can taste its fruits. Why should I be the one there lying in my coffin, cold as a sturgeon, knowing nothing about it? Wait, I know. I'll kill him. Then I'll go to his funeral and look on. Then, after the funeral, I'll kill myself. They'd arrest me, though, before the funeral and take away my pistol. Now, let me get this straight. I'll kill him. She'll remain alive. And for the time being, I'll spare myself and get arrested instead. I mean, I'll always have time to kill myself. I can take my sweet time about it. Then, at the preliminary inquiry, I'll be able to expose the infamy of her conduct. You see, if I kill myself and she's still alive, she may, with her usual duplicity and impudence, throw all the blame on me. Then society will justify her behavior and laugh at me. Besides, why should I kill myself? Shooting oneself is cowardly. So I'll kill him and let her live. I'll face my trial. Yes, I'll endure my trial, and she will be brought into court as a witness. Of course, I can see it now. I can feel it in my bones, her confusion, her disgrace when my counsel examines her.
Monsieur.
The court, the press, the public, all will sympathize with me.
Monsieur.
Yes, what is it?
I have some other choices here. Would you be so kind, monsieur, as to come back and look at them?
Shoot.
Oh, beg pardon, monsieur?
No, go ahead. Do your spiel.
Now, this one's English. A new pattern. We just received it. But I warn you, monsieur, this revolver pales beside the Smith & Wesson. Maybe you read about one particular Smith & Wesson the other day.
Well, maybe I did, and maybe I didn't.
An officer bought a Smith & Wesson from us. He shot his wife's lover, and would you believe it? The bullet passed through the lover, pierced a bronze lamp, then penetrated a piano.
Oh, is that all?
Of course not, monsieur. It ricocheted off the piano, killed the lapdog, and bruised his wife's left breast.
Oh, very efficient, I must say.
We're so proud. It was in all the newspapers. It's a magnificent achievement, buttressing the prestige of Schmuck and Company.
What happened to the officer?
He's under arrest. He'll no doubt be convicted and sent to Siberia.
Why?
Our penal code is hopelessly out of date, monsieur. Nowadays, the sympathies of the court are always with the lover.
Oh, my. Why is that?
Very simple, monsieur. The judges, the jury, the prosecutor, the defense counsel, all are cuddling with other men's wives. It adds to their comfort to know that with every conviction, there will be one less husband running loose in Russia. Society would be pleased if the government sent all husbands to Siberia.
But that's terrible.
Oh, monsieur, you can't believe the corruption of morals nowadays. Loving other men's wives is of no more consequence than smoking other men's cigarettes, drinking other men's vodka, reading other men's books, wearing other men's underwear.
I don't believe it.
Don't breathe a word of this, monsieur, but every year our trade gets worse and worse. This doesn't mean wives are more faithful. It means husbands are resigning themselves to their plight. They're afraid of legal consequences and penal servitude. And whose fault is that, monsieur? The government?
Why should I go to a prison camp for a pig like that? That makes no sense either.
Monsieur!
If I go to prison, I'll only give my wife the opportunity to marry and deceive a second husband. She would triumph.
Monsieur!
I've got it. I'll leave her alive. I won't kill myself, and I won't kill him either. I'll punish them, wither them with my contempt. I'll start divorce proceedings that will create a scandal.
Monsieur, why do you keep wandering away? Who are you talking to?
What business is it of yours?
Here, monsieur, is another style. Let me call your attention to the innovative mechanism of the
lock. I don't want it!
Don't want?
It's no use!
No use, monsieur.
I must apologize for...
for taking up so much of your time, all for nothing. What's that?
What?
That box in your hand.
Only bullets, monsieur.
Bullets?
A box of bullets for a gun you didn't buy. I'm taking them to the storeroom.
How much?
One box, monsieur?
No, one bullet.
It's on the house, monsieur, courtesy of Schmuck and Company. Shall I wrap it, monsieur?
Yes.
Shall I gift wrap it, monsieur?
Yes, of course.
Very well, monsieur.
And be quick about it. I don't have all day.
So what did Fyodor do with that single bullet gift-wrapped, no less? Chekhov didn't put that potting zinger in his tail, and the adapter says he has no idea how it got in his play, much less what Fyodor did with it. This concludes our gallery tour, visitors. We do hope that you will drop by and visit us again. Until then, thank you for visiting Chekhov's Audio Museum of Marital Mischief. This is your gallery guide, Christian O'Neill, bidding you farewell. TTFN. Chekhov's Audio Museum of Marital Mischief is a collection of Chekhov short stories adapted for audio presentation by Roy Proctor. Tonight's cast of the radio play Settling the Score featured Kurt Benrud as Fyodor and Tom Haynes as the clerk. All of the sound effects for tonight's show were produced live at the studio, but not the music. We did ask Mazorski to join us in the studio for a live performance, but he won't return our calls. Have a radio play or stage play that can be adapted to radio? You can submit it to the Cary Playwrights Forum Radio Hour for a chance to hear your play performed live on the air. The CPF Radio Hour can produce full productions or cold readings of short original plays. For more information on submitting your work, visit www.caryplaywrightsforum.com, click on the Upcoming tab, and click on CPF Radio Hour. The Cary Playwrights Forum Radio Hour is brought to you by the Cary Playwrights Forum, where creative minds come to play. The Cary Playwrights Forum meets the third Wednesday of every month to read new, original plays in various stages of development. Local playwrights and actors are invited to drop in, share their talents, and share their feedback. That seems to be all the time we have for tonight, and a round of applause for playwright Roy Proctor and guest performers Tom Haynes and Kurt Benrud. This has been the Cary Playwrights Forum Radio Hour. I'm your host, Christian O'Neill. Good night, and break a leg.